I thank you right now for the prayers that you've given for not only me, but those that are that have certain ailments, and we need to continue to pray for all of those, and even pray for the ones we don't know about. There might be someone here that has a situation, a problem that we need to just ask God to bless all of His children. And I don't know if Brother Gary's like this or not, but in preparation of mind and thought and everything, you go through and you think about different things that you'd like to say about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his beauty and his work and his glory and you kind of sometimes forget everything you kind of wanted to say. So if I don't say everything that I thought about saying, well, you probably, I need to study more, but then you need to study more so you can kind of figure out what I meant to say. And hopefully I can remember the majority of the things that I've thought about. In the lunchroom, of course, I was asked if I needed help. And I told the sister no, I didn't need any help, and it was teasingly that, yeah, you're a man, and she was right. You know, men tend to act that way. Well, I'm a man, I can do it regardless of my physical ability. I can, and we're all like that. And you know, the circle of life, I was thinking the other day about the circle of life, how that when you're young and you're younger, that you begin to crawl and then you begin to walk and you fall down and you learn how to balance yourself and you learn how to you learn how to run eventually and to stand. And in the circle of life, you begin to get older, and you begin to stumble, and you begin to fall. And in my experience, the falls are hurt more than they did when I was a child. Of course, I don't remember as much about my childhood, but it seems to me that it hurts a little more now when I fall than it did when I was young. And falling into temptation, the first time you do it, it's, to me, easier to abstain or to stay away from that. If you know and it hurt when you fell down, then you understand that I don't need to, like when I was young, I fell into a prickly pear bush when I was four, and so I learned real quick to stay away from prickly pears. And but you know, as you're older and everything, it seemed like when you fall, it's harder to get up. And the more you fall into temptation, the harder it is to abstain or to get away from it. And we're admonished to stand therefore. Now that really isn't my thought for the day, but it was a thought in just a few moments before we started singing, that it seems like you begin when you begin, and of course my other subject that I studied was a guide and pathway. And you know, you get off of that course in life and you're over here, and Christ is our guide and trying to get us back on the right path and calling us and encouraging us to turn to God, to turn to Him. But the more we stay in that path, the older we get in that path, the harder it is to turn back and get on the right path. So I would encourage you to stay in the path, the way that we should go. There's a good way and there's a bad way. Broad is the way that we shouldn't go. I'm going to read from Ecclesiastes, and hopefully the thoughts follow along somewhat with what I've just spoke about. But I'm going to turn to the 8th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, and there's a particular thought at the end of it that I want to get to. But in just reading that particular chapter, there's a lot of things that about men and about us, and when I say men, I'm talking about mankind in general, not just men, but men and women, that we all think certain ways, we all act certain ways, and they're not always godly. Who is as the wise man? And who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. Now you think about that for just a second. You think you know something? You're built up with pride, and your face is, I know what I'm talking about. And then it doesn't matter what you're talking about. You can be talking about cooking, sewing, farming, building. If you think you know all about that subject, you are just, I can tell you all everything there is about it, and you're lifted up with pride. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God, be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand, and there again, out of his sight, on the path of unrighteousness. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleases him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore, the misery of man is great upon him, for he knoweth not that which shall be. For who can tell him when it shall be? And there again, we exist in time. Do you know what's going to take place tomorrow? And the answer to that, obviously, is no. We don't really know what's going to happen in the next few moments, really. I mean, we kind of have an idea. We kind of have an idea that we're gonna be in here. We're gonna have a fellowship with Christ. We're gonna talk about Christ. We're going to worship Him, and then we're gonna go in and we're gonna have a meal and we're gonna fellowship one and talk about our lives a little bit. We're gonna talk about the things that we've experienced during the week, the things that have been difficult in our lives, perhaps. Brother David and I were talking this morning. Some things were difficult in his life this week, and some of you might have had difficulty in life and had a few problems. But that's just it. We don't know what's going to happen this week. We don't really know what's going to happen in the next day or two, and we may have a few problems. We may have a few difficulties. There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. Now, I can't retain my spirit whenever my life is called upon by God to come to Him. I can't restrain that. We've seen that in our lives with our parents, with our brothers, sisters, cousins, perhaps even children. They couldn't retain that life once it was called for. And there is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge. There's no questioning that power that God has over calling his saints to glory. and or the wicked to their appointed time. All this have I seen and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. We see that time and time again in our own lives with those that we deal with in life sometimes, that their heart is set to do wicked works. And we wonder why they are so set in their mind to do wickedness. Why are they set to do that wickedness? Because they're wicked. They're evil. That's the very reason that they are that way. They don't have a heart that has been changed or has been corrected to desire spiritual things. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days are prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. There is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men, unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men, to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. Then I commended mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry, for that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life, which God giveth him under the sun. Eat, drink, and be merry the days of your life. And that's what the world intends to look forward to. But then again, you consider the age of some of the ones that were in the Old Testament, in the Bible, and living 900 years. And some of the young may not realize this, but there are things in my life that are monotonous and tedious and tiresome that I can't. It's hard for me to sit or to do, to think about, it's just tedious in life, and it's burdensome to me. And even when I was a child and sitting in a congregation like this and taking time out of my day to sit and to listen to a message, I was wicked. I'll guarantee you that. I didn't want to sit still. I didn't want to listen to anything. And that is our nature sometimes, even as grown-ups. We tend to, you know, I've heard that 100 times. I've heard that 1,000 times. Why are we talking about that subject again? Why are we discussing that again? And perhaps you've heard this particular chapter before, and it's tedious, and I apologize, but it's just something that I have on my mind, and I apologize as in the flesh, But as far as what I think about in the spirit, I rejoice because I believe that it's coming from God, that he is something that he has given me to share with you so that you can rejoice in the things that he has done. And I'll continue reading. There is vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. Then I commended mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry, for that which abide with him of the labor of the days of his life, which God giveth him under the sun. When I applied mine heart to know wisdom. And that seems to be a difficult one for me. To apply my heart to know wisdom. Because see, in order to apply, then I have to reject the things of the world in order to take a little time to think about or to read about or to try to understand the things in my life that I'm being taught by the Spirit. When I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes. Then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, farther, though a man or a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. You know, there's all kinds of scientists that we have in the day, and they're trying to find all kinds of cures for all kinds of diseases, and they haven't found them. And lo and behold, we have a Savior that was born of a virgin that was sent. And something else, me and Brother Gary were talking about too, and I want to stress this before I forget about it, and I want to think about it. There's one thing that is not stressed enough about among us, and that is the death of Jesus Christ. Do you realize what that did? It doesn't matter whether you believe it happened or not. It doesn't matter if you saw it happen or not. It doesn't matter if you understand it. A little child doesn't have to understand the death of Christ, because the death of Christ, and here we were lost sinners. It took us and took us from a death, and it placed us into life. Whether I believe that or not, that's what it did. And we need to stress that more and more. That's what it did. It delivered us from hell and the grave. It delivered us from death. And it still delivers us from death. Even the knowledge that he has blessed us with in the scriptures that we have before us today, it blesses us day in and day out in understanding that he delivered us from death. And he is the door. And at that door, at the time of death, we see him. We don't see the things that the wicked are going to see. We see him. Then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Can we find out the things that he endured, that he had to face, that he had to overcome in order to secure us in that righteousness? Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. I'm not going to find out everything that Christ did for me. I am not going to find out everything that he has done for me. I'm not going to find out everything that God has done for me in his mercy, in life, in causing me to turn from evil things and to walk down a better path than the direction that I was facing, to call me and to get a hold of my attention and to bring me back into a fellowship with him. I'm not going to know all the times that he had an angel that was there that was preventing me from going a little further. But that's really the topic that I have on my mind. Further, a little bit past, beyond what I know, what I think. Is there anything? Are you going to further God's knowledge? Are you going to cause him to understand more about you or understand more about life than he already knows? No, we're not going to cause him to go farther in his understanding of us and in his knowledge of us. We're not going to cause him to go out here and tell him something that he doesn't already know about us. Though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, farther, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it out or find it. And now I'm gonna turn over here to Matthew. And as I was reading something in one of the papers that I get, I don't remember which one it was for sure. I kind of have an idea, but it's not really that important. It may be important. I mean, if you want to know, I'll tell you which ones I read later. But over here in the after the disciples, I think it's in the 26th chapter of Matthew. They had gone to the garden, Olives, and said, "Yes." Then saith Jesus unto them, "Ye shall, be offended to me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad." We know that's true. It's something that he knew and understood that would happen after that he was smitten, or that after that he was taken into custody. He could see down the road. And he's a leader. He's out in front of us. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. I will go before you. He's not behind us. He's in front of us, leading us. Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise also said all the disciples. All of the disciples said, "I'm going to die with you. I'll do it." But they couldn't see that far ahead. They couldn't see that far down the road where they would actually deny. They believed that he was Christ. Peter affirmed that. Who sayest that I am? And he said, "Thou art the Christ." Peter told him that, and he was spokesman for the other disciples, one that they looked up to, the leader. And yet, Christ is telling Peter, "You're going to deny me." Then cometh Jesus with them unto the place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, "Set ye here while I go and pray yonder." You stay here, I'm going to go yonder. And if I remember other scriptures, he went about a stone's throw apart from the disciples. And I don't know how far you can throw a stone, but today I can't throw a stone as far as I could when I was a little younger. So I don't know how far that is, but a stone's throw to most of us would be maybe from here to the back of the building. Maybe a little farther than that. I don't know. But and I'm not going to judge you if you say that it was further than that. I'm not going to judge you if you say that it was closer than that, because some of us can throw farther than others. So, but the point is, he went a little further, and that's what it says here. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter, the very one that he just told was going to deny him. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. He went a little farther. He's gone a little farther than what, you know, we think about we're going to die. Well, he didn't just go to that point. But here he is in the garden praying. He knows he's going to die. But he doesn't just know that he's going to die. He knows that he's going to take the punishment for all of those that he's going to die for. Not just his death, but the death of all of the children that he is going to redeem back, and cause to be not in a state of death anymore, but in a state of life. And so he goes a little farther, and he falls on his face and prays, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? See, that's mankind. That's our limitation as a man, and as what we are, natural. They went with him, but they couldn't stay up with him, and we couldn't either. And notice there it says Christ, when he's praying, oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Well, we know that he died. So we know that it wasn't possible for that cup to pass from him. It was impossible. He had to die according to the will of God, according to fulfill all the promises that had been made to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to the children of Israel, to fulfill the prophecies that were involved in all the scripture. He went a little further. In his mind, in his natural, because he was both natural man and spiritual God in fleshly form. And I don't understand that. I don't fully totally understand that. I have some ideas about that. But as a man, I have limitations to understanding that. As a man, I have limitations understanding his mentality right there. I have limited understanding on what it actually took for him to lay down his life. I have kind of have I ever been whipped? My dad whipped me a few times, a lot of times. And have I felt that pain? Yes, I felt that pain. But I've never felt the pain like he has felt the pain. I've felt betrayal in life. I felt people turning their backs on me. I've felt that. And that pain that's down deep inside of you, that just kind of overwhelms you. And it wears on you. Not just for a day, but for weeks and for months. And you wonder why that had took place. You don't understand it. And man doesn't understand that. But here, Christ, he took Peter with him. And Peter is kind of representative of us. How we deny him every day. Whenever we turn off of the path that we ought to be on and follow something besides Christ, he was betrayed by so much, by so many, and yet he's praying, and that's he knew. I don't understand what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't understand who's going to betray me tomorrow, but he did. He knew that Peter was going to betray him tomorrow. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's been my whole life story right there. Sometimes the spirit is overwhelmingly willing to go and to perform or to have fellowship with God or his children. But my flesh is weak. And I believe that's the case with everyone here today. We have a flesh that is weak, but a spirit that is willing. And the thing that I really want to say right now is can we not watch and pray with him? Can we not go a little further? Can we not I'm not saying by my flesh. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying through our spirits, that is his spirit is willing. Through our spirit, can we not watch and pray with him for an hour? Think about that as you study this week. Can I not study an hour with him this week? God bless you.